Everybody, Shalom Aleichem. I think we left off last week on Nun and Bchoris, Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph, about 10 lines from the top by the Mishnah. The din is that by Pidyon HaBen, the Avi HaBen has to give 5 sloim, 5 shkolim to the Kohen. The 5 shkolim can be either kesef or shavu kesef. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a brisa where the man is giving talizul alep. Talas are the pigimni. Egos are the pigimni. He's giving a shava kesef. There isn't even, I don't think there's a lechatchila, dafka to give kesef as opposed to shava kesef. We learned in Breisa last week that there are 3 cases in Kola Tarakula. There's a din of kesef, and Kola Tarakula din is shava kesef, kikesef, and yamekadosh anisha, you give a ring is shava kesef, and when you pay the Chof Talar Ovis Nezikin, so the Chumash talks about the Shem Beregel paying Meit of Sadeh, Meit of Kam Yerushalem, he's paying a Shavah Kesef, he's not paying a Kesef. So in Kol Tarkul Shavah Kesef, Kesef with only 3 exceptions to the rule. One was Pidya Maisu Sheni, that's Pasik, Tzata Kesef, Yadecha Kesef, Sheesh Olav Tzura, has to be cash. Shavah Kesef is not acceptable for the purpose of Pidyan Maisu Sheni. And even if you have kesef, let's say I have my Israeli coin, which I use when I was in Eretz Yisrael to be paid in my Sheni, and I bring it back with me to America, I use it in America. In America, it's shavu kesef. The Israeli coin in Eretz Yisrael is kesef because it's legal tender. It's recognized by the Israeli government as kesef. But in America, it's not recognized by the government yet, so you can't use an Israeli coin in America. So that's for sure din deraisa. The pidyon maaser sheni has to be on kesef.
What about the dollar in Eretz Yisrael?
That's a question, because even though officially, legally, it's not legal tender, but most people probably would accept the American money. A lot of people would prefer the American money. So that's a good question. You have to work that out. I don't know. You have to work that out. But the second din in the braisa is machsa shekel. And that's a question in Yerushalmi, how to read Yerushalmi. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, that he wrote a Chibur on Yerushalmi, which he, part of it was lost and part of it was stolen, I think, in Russia. And he always bemoaned the fact that he felt that that was his life's contribution to Torah, his Chibur on Yerushalmi. He writes in his Chibur on Yerushalmi, he explained that that's a din deraisa. When you give, everyone gives machsa shekel, every year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you have to bring the new Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, Korbanos Tzibur, the Tamidim was suffering from the new Matzah Shekel money. The fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Matzah Shekel has to, you can only be Yotzeh with Kesef. You're not Yotzeh with Shavu Kesef. And some held that, some read in Yerushalmi that that's only a din with the Rabbanan. Moshe says that he explained that it's a din there. I said, the third din is clearly only a din with the Rabbanan. When you purchase an Erla Sriya, Pesel Shavuos Sukkos, you have to purchase it with cash. You shouldn't purchase it with Shavu Kesef. And Rashi quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that that's only Midirabbanan. We're afraid he's going to, if he'll set aside Shavu Kesef commodities fluctuate in value. The price can go up, the price can go down. So money doesn't fluctuate so much. And Eretz Yisrael it does. But money usually doesn't fluctuate so much. So if you're going to set aside a Shavu Kesef a month before Pesach, months before Shavuos, then he's going to come to the Beis Yerushalayim, wants to buy a behemah, an Oil Sriya, and it's not enough money, because at the time that he set it aside a month before Yantiv, it was worth so much that you can buy a behemah with it, and now it's not worth that much. So that's exactly with the Rabbanan, that when you buy an Oil Sriya, they made a Chumah with the Rabbanan. You have to buy it with cash. You shouldn't buy it with Shavu Kesef. To deter people, people shouldn't set aside the Shavu Kesef. But by Pidyon HaBen is mutar lechatchila to use Shavu Kesef. So you can use any Shavu Kesef you want, except for some. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. What kind of Shavu Kesef can you not use? I remember once I attended a Pidyon HaBen in Philadelphia, and the Kohen didn't plan to give back. Many Kohanim have the practice, the Gemara says, Rab Tarfon was the Kohen, and he had that practice. The other Tanoim, Amoraim, Kohanim. So they gave back the money that they would give him for the purpose of Pidyon HaBen. the father of the baby gave the money to the kohen, and the kohen gave it back. He didn't want to keep. So I remember I once traveled to Pidyon HaBen in Philadelphia. So the kohen wanted to keep the money that they're going to give him. So he requested of the Avi HaBen, he would prefer to have a becher. He had a whole collection of bechers that fathers had given him for the sake of the Pidyon HaBen of their children. So that's good lachatrin. So the Mishnah says, there's a machlokes hatanoim, what shavei kesef is not acceptable for the purpose of Pidyon HaBen. So the Mishnah says, you cannot make Pidyon HaBen loy b'havodim, loy b'shtaris, loy b'karkos. Karka avodim b'shtaris. There are different dinim where we exclude karka avodim b'shtaris. Like, for example, Aganif steals karka avodim b'shtaris. A gazlan only pays keren. Aganif pays keren the kefil. So kefil doesn't apply if he's still karka avodim b'shtaris. Because there's a klal prata klal from the midrash turn it reshes b'hem. There's a machloekes satanoim. question: what was the tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? If you have a klal prata klal, the yadarshin ke'ena prat, anything that's similar to the prat in two similarities and two conditions, so it has the same din ke'ena prat. Or they say no, every klal prata klal is not really Nidrash has klala prata klal and you need keina prat, but rather it's a ribui meu to a ribui, and you want to memait one thing. That's what the Gemara quotes. The Mishnah, the Gemara says, Masnisin, the first line in the Gemara, right after the Mishnah ends. The Mishnah is the Loki Rabbi. The Mishnah says, all three are not acceptable, karkava and mishtaris. Just like, let's say, the din of Shomrim is excluded, doesn't apply. Shamachinim is chayvim, Shia, Shamasocha is chayvim, Gneva Veda. Shoyl is Chadionsin, all these dinim of the Abba Shamim only apply to Metaltalim. The dini Hashamim don't apply to Karka Avodah Mishtaris. Shvua Deraisa, there's no Shvua Deraisa and Karka Avodah Mishtaris. Because you have, in all of these cases, you have a Klala Prata Klal. So here also you have a Klala Prata Klal, and that's how we paskin, that Karka Avodah Mishtaris are excluded. You need Dova HaMitaltel, the Gufa Momin. So Dova HaMitaltel is to the exclusion of Karka. Gufa Mamin is the exclusion of a shtar, despite the fact that it is a Dova HaMitaltel. Move it around. And Avodim Hukshul Karkos. Avodim Hukshul Karkos. So whenever Karka is excluded, so Avodim have the same din as Karka. Where are Avodim Hukshul Karkos? So it's a pasuk in the end of Chumash Vayikra that if you buy an Eved Ivri and the Odom dies, the Eved Ivri doesn't go to the ocean. The Montana disagrees. Montana holds Eved Ivri, Eved Sabein Reino, Eved Sabas. It doesn't go to all the Yorshim, but Habein Kom Tachasol, that's another din. There's a din of Yerusha. Whenever there's Yerusha, then the Mechor gets Pishnahim. And then there's a different din, Habein Kom Tachasol. Take, for example, a woman dies, so her son. So if she's married, so the husband yarshins all of her assets. If she's not married, let's say the husband is not alive, so the son gets the Yerusha. Aben Yerush HaSimai. So the Gemara poses a question, Aben Yerush HaSimai, how can that be? The Pasuk says in connection with the Yerusha, Mimishpachta v'Yerush HaSa, the Kruv, the two Chaloshemis of Kurva. There's a Kurva of Mishpach and there's a Kurva of Sher Basar. So Sher Basar, like it says by Arais, Ishi shall call Sher B'sar L'sikvu L'kala Serva. There are certain relatives whom you're not allowed to marry. So the relatives who are forbidden marriages, some of them are from the father's side, some of them from the mother's side. Because that depends on Sher B'sar. But whenever there's a din of Mishpacha, like Yerusha, by Yerusha it says, Mimishpachta V'yorosha Yisa. So there the Gemara says, Mishpacha Sar Kri Mishpacha, Mishpacha Tzeim, Eine Kri Mishpacha. Mother's side of the family is a kurva of Sher Basar, but it's not a kurva of Mishpacha. So there's never any Yerusha. That's based on a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take a census of Bnei Israel and figure out how many people there are in each shevet. And if you have a mixed marriage, a boy from one shevet married a girl from another shevet, so what shevet did the children belong to? So the pasuk says, when you take the census, what shevet do you add them onto? So it says, Mishpachoisam Lavesavoisam. So the Gemara establishes it based on that pasuk, Mishpachas Avkri, Mishpacha, Mishpachas Emenikri, Mishpacha. So the two chalushemes of Kurva is a Kurva of Mishpacha and a Kurva of Sherbosa. So Arayas, Gili Arayas, the prohibited marriages depend on the Kurva of Sherbosa. Ishi shall call Sherbosa, Tikabulagala Sarva. So Dominum, our relatives can father son, son for the mother son. But Yerusha depends on the Mishpach, the Yosha, so it depends on Mishpacha, so that's only from the father's side. So the Gemara raised the question, how does the son yarshen the mother? How does the son yarshen the mother? He's related through his mother. He's not related through his father. He's related through his mother. So the Gemara said, that's a new din. Haben kam tachasimo. Haben kam tachasimo. Where do you find, it's not bidin Yerusha, it's haben, that's how, let's say, b'chor gets pishnaim only if it's Yerusha. If the mother dies and there's several children, the b'chor doesn't get pishnaim. Chor only gets bishnaim when it's Yerusha. If it's a din of kom tachtop, so the b'chor is kom tachtop to the same extent as the pashut. He's not twice as much kom tachtop. But the Gemara gives another. And what's another din of kom tachtop? The din is if a man dies, a couple is married, the husband dies. So if the wife has no children, then the yavam is supposed to either do yibum or chalitza. Yivam is not permitted to remarry. The Yavam has to do Yivam, or he has to do Chalitza to permit her to remarry. So the Gemara says, but if there are children, then Habayin come, either sons or daughter, Habayin come Tachas Aviv, and therefore there's no Yivam and there's no Chalitza. It doesn't mean that Habayin come Tachas Aviv, he's married to his mother. He doesn't yarshen the father's marriage to the mother. The father died. The son is not married to the mother. Habein kam tachas aviv is considered as if, in a certain sense, as if the father is still around, and there's no need. There's no need for chalitza yibam. Other dinim also, Gemara has a whole list of dinim. Habein, there are two dinim. Min chaschinach has this, barichas. There's a din of Yerusha, and then there's a din of habein kam tachas aviv. So the pasuk says, if a Jewish person owns an Eved Ivri, and Eved Ivri doesn't go Yerusha. That's how we pass. Well, there's one Tana Kiddush in Eved Ivri, Eved Is HaBein, and Eved Is HaBatz. It's a din of Kom Tachto, but it's not the regular din of Yerusha. If it would have been a din of Yerusha, so if there's no sons, then the daughter would get Yerusha. It's a din of HaBein Kom Tachto. What if a person dies and he had an Eved Knaini? So that's a pasuk in Chumash. The Eved Knaini does go Birusha. Eved Knaini is not the same as Eved Ivri. So the pasuk says, "V'hisnachaltam osim levnechem achareichem lereshes achuz asolam liyolam bohem tavoidu." The Eved Knaini always remains an Eved Knaini. So what do you mean? V'hisnachaltam, the term nachalo, we have nachalo and Yerusha. Yerusha means a person died and he left a lot of money in the bank and he left real estate and he left metaltalim. So everything goes Birusha. That's Yerusha. The term nachlon, the term achuza, usually is reserved only for karka. So how come over here the pasuk describes the Eved Knaini going birusha? He's a chunk of nachlon and he's a chunk of achuza. So the Gemara said that's called avodim hukshul karkos. Eved Knaini has the same din like karka. So whenever you have this kind of a klal of prata klal, there's no shvuah derais on karka avodim mishtaris midirabbanan. There are shvuahs, but the menatara there's no shvuah derais. So there's no din of shomim on karka avodim mishtaris. There's a ganav who steals and not chayiv kefil on karka avodim mishtaris. Here also there's a klal of prata klal. So in the midrash atarin it reshes behem. Whenever you have such a pasuk that has a klal and then a pratan and a klal. So there were two traditions. One of them is right, one of them is wrong. Somebody made a mistake over here. So those who say, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shlesha Tzimiyas HaTorah Nidreshes Bem, right before Baruch Shama, before Miz Mashiach Hanukkah Sabayis LeDavid. So that price is Rabbi Shmuel on there. Rabbi Shmuel says that there's a klal of prat, then there's a prat to klal, and then there's a klal of prat to klal. And each one leads to a different conclusion. That's the famous Brisa Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. That's what we usually assume. And Rabbi Akiva had a tradition. Rabbi Akiva picked up his tradition of the Midrash HaTorah. There are more than 13 Midrash HaTorah in the Chan, many more. But Rabbi Shmuel only listed off 13. So among the 13 is the Klal HaPrat, Prat HaKlal, Klal HaPrat HaKlal. So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva had his traditions from Nochem Ish Gamzu. And Nochem Ish Gamzu's tradition was that it's not Klal HaPrat. It's Riba Yemiut, Miut V'Riba, Riba Miut V'Riba. What's the difference whether you darshan, when you have a Klal HaPrat, do you darshan like a Klal HaPrat HaKlal, Riba Miut V'Riba? So if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, Nochem Ish Gamzu, then it's Ribi Miut V'Riba, so you marba everything except for one thing, you might one thing. So that's why Rabbi Ranasi wrote a Mishnah against his own Shita. He knew his Mishnah, he knew his Shita was not accepted. Same thing, the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Years ago we learned Sanhedrin. So the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin starts off with the line, Didim Amanis Bishloisha. Then the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, Rabbi Yudah Nasi disagrees with that tradition. He asks, Didim Amanis, he needed Din Torah of Chamisha. So the Rishonim ask a question. You look on the bottom of the page in the Tosefta, the Chasdei Dovid is a pirish printed in the back of the Gemara after the Rif. You have the Tosefta. So the Chasdei Dovid quotes it from some Rishonim. Why didn't Rabbi Yudah Nasi put his opinion into the Mishnah? How come it's only quoted in the Tosefta? So he said he was honest, he knew that his opinion was rejected. What's he going to push it on people? He knew it wasn't accepted, so he didn't put it in. So he also, Rabbi Yudah Nasi knew his Shita was not accepted. Rabbi Yudah Nasi holds, for the purpose of opinion of Ben, you can even use Karka in Avodim, only Shtaris he can't use. He can't use a Shtar. And he knew his opinion wasn't accepted, so he didn't even put it in the Mishnah. It's a minority opinion. He left it out, and he only writes the Shita Sachachamim, that's Rabbi Shmuel holds. He darshan the psukim klal prat klal. So whatever is ke'ena prat. So ke'ena prat in two points. It's a davar hamitaltel v'gufa mamon. And even though avodim are gufa mamon and a davar hamitaltel, nonetheless avodim hukshu the karkos. And whenever there's a din that doesn't apply to karkos, so we say it doesn't apply to avodim either. That's a question. Avodim hukshu l'karkos only have a k'naini, or is it even a v'divri, or is it even a ben chorin? Maybe b'nei chorin hukshu l'karkos. That's a discussion. That's a discussion. And Mishonim and Achronim and Gemaras, you have to fish around in the Gemaras. How far do you go with this statement that Avodim hukshu l'karkos? So the Gemara in Shavuos has a list, there's one daf in the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, a list of dinim that the various dinim all over the place. Here it says in Shavuos Dav Dalet on the base. On the margin, on this side, it tells you, look, the Braisa Rebbe Omer, Bakol Poidim, Chutz Min Ashtaris, that's in Shavuos Dav Dalet. So on that daf, the Gemara quotes different machlokes, quite a few cases, machlokes atanoim, what the din is based on this tradition, what is the correct version of the Midrash HaTorah Reshis Mem. You can't say one is right, one is wrong. What was the mid? What was the tradition for the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Even the tradition was klal prat klal, the tradition was ribi mit riba. So that's an issue. So there are theories in the Rambam. Some of the dinim the Rambam paskins following, some of the dinim that the Rambam paskins were established based on klal prat klal, and some of the other dinim that the Rambam paskins were based on the assumption that the need is ribi mit v'ribu. So the Lecha Mishnah works on that kasha. The Rambam follows the Klali HaPsak in Erevin, around Daf Mem Vav. There's a long list. Whenever Tana A and B disagree, the Psak is like this. Whenever C and D disagree, the Psak is like that. D and F, the Psak is like this. And then there's a long list of Amarayim. Whenever these two Abai Barabba disagree, the Din is always like Barabba, except the Al-Kagam. And what goes on and on, Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara gives all the Klal HaPsak. So the Rambam paskins all the time, like the Klal HaPsak and Erevin, Adaf Manvo. But if you look in the Gemara Shavuos Daf Dalet, they're contradictory, because some of the Psakim of the Rambam are based on the assumption that the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam is Klal HaPrat to Klal, and some of the other Psakim are based on the assumption that it's Riba Mirat Riba. So this is a major problem. This is a major caution. We don't really have a good suggestion on this. Yeah. There is a strange din in the Gemara. Somebody owes me $1,000 and I have a shtar. The shtar is signed by two witnesses. The Reuven owes me $1,000 and he has to pay by next Tu B'Shvat. Fine. Next year Tu B'Shvat. So The Gemara talks about me, I don't want to wait till Tulishvat. I need money now. So I want to sell the shtar to someone else. So this someone else is going to have to wait a little over a year. It was just from Shchodeshvat. You're going to have to wait till next Tulishvat is a yor and a mitvach, a year and a week. In a year, he'll be able to collect the $1,000 from the loiva. So he's not going to pay me $1,000 today in order to be able to collect the $1,000 next year. They'll pay me whatever, $950 and $975, whatever. They have a whole system, how you work it out. So he'll buy the shtar at a discounted amount because he has to wait a year. Or sometimes the shtar, you have to wait 5 years till you collect it, so you're going to have to discount it. So the Gemara has a strange din. I have a shtachar that someone owes me $1,000 that I can collect next year to Bishvat. I sell it to you and you gave me $950. Because you have to wait a whole year or 5 years till you get the $1,000. And after I sold you the shtar and you gave me the $950, I'm a wise guy. I go ahead and I'm meichel the chov to the other person. So the Gemara says, I'm meichel shtachar b'chavei, right? Then the Malve, who sold the chayiv to the lokeach, goes ahead and is machal the debt to the loiva. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, what do you mean? Let's say, I sell you a house. The house used to belong to me, now it belongs to you. Now I want to sell the house to someone else. It's not mine anymore. I'm not a balabas anymore. I can't sell it to someone else. So over here also, what do you mean? I already sold the shtar chayiv to someone else, to the lokeach. He has the right to collect. I shouldn't have the ability to be meichel to the loiven. So the Gemara says, not so. The malde who sold the shtar to the lakeach goes, he turns around, a wise guy, he turns around and he's meichel to the loiven. So then, the lakeach has no right to collect the money from the loiva, because the malva was machul. So it's a pella dikadin. Why should there be such a din? All the Rishonim break their heads. So there's a famous Tzarsachayshin. He says, B'din zeh, nam rabbinishn al gimel shittas. He quotes the three different opinions in the Rishonim. The some Rishonim say, and they have it based on the mashmas and the Gemara and Bava Basra, some of the Rishonim say the reason why chazam machul machul is because the whole institution of the Chirush Torah is only mid the Rabbanim. On the level of the Raisa, there's no way to transfer a chayiv to someone else. If I have karka and I want to transfer ownership either b'mechira, b'matana, the karka is nikness b'kesef, or b'shtar, or b'chazokka. If I have metaltalim and I want to transfer, so there can be a metaltalim. But on the shtar chayiv, there's no way, there are no kinyanim. There's no pasuk in Chumash that enables me to sell it. You can't sell. So the whole mechir b'shtaris is only mid rabbanan. That's not the whole explanation. So, but mid rabbanan, I should say, a sale that's chal, the ability of the malva to sell shtachev to the lakeach is only mid rabbanan. But mid rabbanan, it's sold. So mid rabbanan, it still doesn't make any sense. Why does the malva have the ability to be mechel to the loiva? He sold the chayv. It's not his anymore. It's not a balbas. You have to add on to the pshat. That's the beginning of the Pshat. The Rav Soloveitchik once gave a Yortzeit Rosh on this topic. All the years he had Yortzeit for his father on Gimel Shvat, they always used to give a Yortzeit Shir for 4 hours. So he used to give a Shir in Halacha for 2 hours, then he gave a Shir in Agada based on the Halacha. He explained Hashkafa of the Halacha. So all the years he used to give a Shir on some topic in Shulchan Aruch that people were familiar with. Kiddush, Abdullah, Kriyashma, Tzitzis, Tzillin, davening, different things, davening. And then 1 year, he changed his regilis, and he said, all these shiurim that he gave, Akidish and Abdullah, and benching, and davening, and so on, these are all things that he learned on his own. As Yortzeit to his father, he wants to see over something that he had learned by his father. So 1 year, he gave a yetzmach, I gave a shiur on shtaris, a mechir shtaris. And many of the people didn't follow, because it was a complicated topic. So the next year, he said, last year was an experiment, and it failed, and it's gone back to the old style. It's going to go back to Orach Chaim again. So the people, he wants the people to understand. By some Talmidei Chachamim, they feel that the highest level of the shtir is, if you give a shir, and after 5 minutes, everybody's lost. no one can follow Rabbi Soloveitchik. Didn't assume like that. The highest level of a Sheva Rabbi Soloveitchik was, he'll talk for 4 hours and everyone will follow step by step from the beginning to the end. Everybody will understand everything. So the next year he went back to Orech Chaim topics. So that year he gave a beautiful shiur on Shtoris. So he explained that what the Tzais HaChoshen says about this din, HaMoich HaShtachav L'chaber V'chav Zomach L'mochu. So the Tzais writes, B'din Zeh Nemu V'nishna Gimel Shitas, that the three explanations given by the Rishonim. So he explained from his father, it's all the same explanation. They all say the same thing, each one said it in a different word. Okay, so this is this Shita, in Tzais, this is a Machloikas, the Rabbi Natam and the Ri. The Ri was a nephew of the Rabbi Natam. The Rebbe, the Rabbi Natam, was a major Balei HaTorah. The Rebbe was a nephew of the Rabbi Natam. Picked everything up. All of his learning he picked up from the Rabbi Natam. And every so often they disagree. So this is one of the points that they disagree. Whether Mechir Shtaris is a Din D'Araisa or a Din D'Rabban. So some of the Rishonim say the reason why, the beginning of the explanation of the reason why the Malveh still has the ability to be Moichel to the Loive, even after he sold the debt to the Lekeach. Why? So you have to begin by saying, because to begin with, Mechir Rishtaris is only Midrabbanan. Because it doesn't have Kenyani Karka, it's not a tangible object. If something is a tangible a field, a house, a building, a tree, that's Karka. So Karka has Kenyani Karka. Something has Metalplim has Kenyani Metalplim. A star is neither Karka nor Metalplim. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a totally different thing. So there's no way you can sell it Minatari. It can only be sold Midrabbanan. And then we have to add on something, and that's why there's something missing here. So Midrabbanan it's sold. So Midrabbanan, why does the Malveh have the ability to be Merchel to the Loiva? So you have to add on that even Midrabbanan, they never made a takana that you can sell it. It's just you are enabling the Lokeach to collect the debt. It's like a Harshoah. Like I send the Shliach to collect the money from the Loiva. The Loiva moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I keep on sending him letters, pay me the $1,000. And I call him on the telephone and he doesn't pick up the phone and he doesn't answer. So I know someone is going to Eretz Yisrael and I ask him, you be my shlich, you represent me, go to the Lord and make sure that he pays up the chay. That's called the harshah. We spoke a little bit about harshah. Harshah is a hybrid between a shlichis and a bailus. So This was a big machlokes, the Ri and the Rabbi Natan, machlokes and the Rishonim. How do you explain that din? It doesn't make any sense. So some Rishonim said that Biur has to begin with this mahalach, that the whole institution, Mechir V'Shtaros, only with the Rabban. And other Rishonim disagree. They say it's not true. Mechir V'Shtaros works, Menatar, and still, Chazan Amach L'machol. So that's different explanations. So the Nodi Bihuda, so there's a Taisvis. Tosfos raises a question. The Gemara learns out here from a klal of prat to klal, from the psukim b'pidyon aben, you can use shavik kesef ke kesef. When you do pidyon aben, you can either give kesef matbe hayotze b'osa medina legal tender, or you can use shavik kesef ke kesef. You just can't use these three things, karka, avodah, and shtoris. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean shtoris? How can you use a shtar? When I have a shtar that someone owes me 5 sloin. So I'm going to give the shtar to the kohen. So I gave the kohen 5 sloin. But if you say there's no way minatar to transfer over the ownership of a shtar to someone else, I didn't give the kohen anything. The man still owes me the 5 sloin. The transaction of me giving the shtar to the kohen didn't change anything. If mechir shtar doesn't work minatar, so there's no way to transfer a debt that you have a mulva d'shtar, no way to transfer it to someone else. So what do you need a pasuk to be memayit? Shtaris, when you give the shtar to the kohen, nothing transferred ownership. So don't you see from the fact that you need a pasuk to tell you that karka avodim shtaris are not acceptable, don't you see mechir shtaris works minat Torah? When the Avi Aben gives over the shtar that somebody owes him 5 sloin, gives it to the kohen, he's giving the kohen the right Al Pidin, Minatoira, the Kohen has the ability to collect the 5 sloin. So Tosfos asked that question. Don't you see from the Miut, when the Klal Prat, the Klal that you can transfer ownership of Psarat Taisis. It says, nah, it's a klal, a pratik klal. It's not memayid all three. It's only memayid two. Karka and Avon. You really don't need a klal, a pratik klal to be memayid shtaris, because the shtaris can't transfer ownership anyway. So just a pantomime. When I gave a shtar to the kohen, nothing changed. The person still owes me the money, and I owe the kohen the five sloim. So nothing changed by giving over the shtar. That's what Taisis says. So the Nadiv Yehuda has a tshuva where he writes, that's neat on the Heyomer. You can say that if you hold the way the Mishnah says, that the klal of prat, the klal and the mayit, all three, karak, avon, and mishtoros. But the Gemara quotes in the first line after the Mishnah, masisim b'leke rebbe d'tanya rebbe. My rebbe's opinion is, he didn't put it in the Mishnah because it wasn't accepted. We pass it like the Mishnah. But Rebbe Shita was, b'kol podim b'chor adam, you can use even karka and avodim, only chutz men ashtarit. Because not a klal of prat, the klal, it's the ribi mir to ribi, and you're only memayit one thing. So you're the only one and only thing you memayit is shtaris. So Nadi Yehuda says, but Tosis says if you hold mechivah shtaris is only mit the rabbanon, there's no way in an atarit to transfer ownership of the shtar. So what do you need a pasuk to say that if you give a shtar to the kayin, that's worth five slime, someone owes me five slime, and I want to give the kayin five slime, I give him a shtar, so I need a pasuk to say that it's no good because it's not good. What do you need a pasuk? And you give the shtar, nothing changed. On the level of the Reisid, the ownership of the chayv didn't switch. So according to Rebbe, the Hechreyach, you have to say the Mechivah Shtaris is the Reisid. That's what the Nadi Yehuda writes. You have to admit that there's one Tana, at least Rebbe. If Rebbe needs a ribi miyot for riboy to be namayit, only shtaris, and they said shtaris, you don't need a pasuk. Because when you give over the shtar, nothing changes. The ownership of the chayv doesn't change. So Rebbe clearly disagrees. Rebbe holds that mechivah shtaris works manatar. If you owe like the chachamim, like the Mishnah, that's how we paskin, that it's not a ribi mir tvi, but it's only memayit one thing. It's klal prat, the klal memayit, a whole bunch of things. Has to be dav hametalta begufa mamon. So then you can say the limud really is not needed for shtar, it's only needed for karkan avodim. Okay, so it's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik, and that Yahrzeit Rasha, the one Yahrzeit Rasha that he didn't speak about, Orech Chaim, Tzitzis, and Tefillin, and Kriyas Shema, and Davening, and Kiddush, and Abdullah, and Benching, the one Yahrzeit Rasha that he said, Nashim and Ezekiel, he was talking Shtaris, what he heard from his father. So that Yahrzeit Rasha, he said over from his father, Rav Soloveitchik, a comment on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Mechira quotes the Din in the Gemara, that Hamachesh Tachar B'Chaveira B'Chazon Machlo Machul, and the Rambam holds like those Rishonim. The reason why is Mechivah Shtaris is only mid the Rabbanon, and even mid the Rabbanon, they never made a Mechivah Shtaris. Just that I'm enabling someone else to collect on my behalf. It's not really Mechivah Shtaris. So the Rambam writes, "How did I do the Mechivah Shtaris? I have a shtar that says someone owes me $1,000. Someone owes me $5." How do I transfer it? Midirabbanim, Lamazog. How do you, either Manatar or Midirabbanim, how do you transfer the bailus of the Shtar Chayiv? So that's a Machloikis in Bovet Basra. And Dafayin Bovayin Zayin. Machloikis, Rebbe and Nachacham, has to be the same two Tanaim. Rebbe and Nachacham. So Rebbe's opinion is Osios. Osios is another way of saying Shtar. If I have a Shtar Chayiv that someone owes me money, Osios Miknas bin Asira. The shtar says that Reuven owes me $1,000. I give you the shtar. So it's considered as if the shtar now says Reuven used to owe me $1,000. But because you're holding on to the shtar, so the shtar changes its tune. And it says Reuven used to owe me $1,000. But because I gave you the shtar says now Reuven owes you the $1,000. Because you have tfisas bala shtar. You say that you have the right to collect $1,000. And why do you say you have the right? Because the Malveh gave you the shtar. So it's considered as if the shtar includes that Haggadah Seder. The shtar used to say Haggadah Seder, Reuven owes me $1,000, and now it says Reuven, you stole me, but now he holds you because you have the tefisas b'alei shtar. The Gemara has a din in Bovei Basra. Let's say I write a shtar. I owe you $5,000, and I sign my name. And it doesn't say who you is. It just says, I owe you. Or let's say it says, I owe the bearer of this note. The Shulchan Aruch, they have a Spanish word for that. The Mechaber spoke Spanish. Rabbi Yossi Vaccaro. He originally lived in Spain. He ran away, I think, as a child because of the Spanish expulsion, the Spanish Inquisition. They ran later, they ran to Portugal, I think, and to Constantinople, and then Eretz Yisrael. So he used his, every so often, a Spanish word for things. So he calls that a Mamrani. I owe you the bearer of the, I'm probably mispronouncing it, but that's when the Nishimis, they mispronounce it. They don't know how to pronounce Spanish. So in the Shulchan Aruch they're called Mem Mem Reish Nun Yud. Mamrani means, I owe the bearer of this note $5,000. And even and then the bearer of the note comes to me, I sign my name on the bottom. I'm a wealthy person. The bearer of the note is deep in poverty. So what do you mean? I borrowed $5,000 from him. He doesn't have 5 cents to his name. How could that be? So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. Even if the one who's holding on to the shtar now, the bearer of the note, is a poor man, and I'm a wealthy man, and I never saw him before in my life, it doesn't matter. It says, I owe the bearer of this note $5,000. So the tefisas bala shtar, the fact that this other person is holding on to the shtar, is mashlim nemuchach mitocho. And it says, I owe you. It doesn't say who you is. The one who's holding on to the shtar, that's who the you is. So sometimes the tefisas bala shtar is mashlim the edus of the shtar. So that's what Rebbe's opinion is. Osius niknas ben mesira. I have a shtar that says that somebody owes me $10,000. I can collect the next year on Tu B'Shvat. So the shtar says he owes me $10,000. Then I give the shtar to a different person. So he comes to the lady and says, I want you to pay. So, but the shtar doesn't say, I owe you. It says, I owe Shechter. So the answer is no. The shtar used to say, I owe Shechter. But now that someone else is holding on to it, and he claims that Shechter gave it to him, either I gave it to him or I sold it to him. So that's considered as if the tefisas bala shtar is mashlam nemuchach mitoichai, and as if the shtar changed its tune. The shtar originally used to say, somebody owes me $10,000. Now it says, someone, you stole me $10,000, and now he owes it to him because Osiris Nikna's been mesira. The shtar was given over to someone else, and the someone else has tefisas bala shtar, and the shtar says that the loiv owes the money now to the lokech. So that's Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe holds Osiris Nikna's been mesira. That Rov HaRishonim have the Girsa in the Gemara that we don't, but Ashbam has the Girsa, we pasuk like Rebbe. But Rav HaRishonim had that symbol of Basa Dafayin Zainam and Aleph. Rav HaRishonim have the Girsa, the Gemara proves logically that it's not correct. That we don't pasken like Rabbi, we pasken Ein Osius Nikdas B'Mesira. So how do you transfer a shtar? The Niksiva U'Mesira. I have to give over the shtar to the... I have a shtar that someone owes me $10,000. So I give over the shtar to the Lokeach, and I write another shtar. This is to ascertain that the debt that Reuven used to owe me, the $10,000 that's collectible next year, Tu B'Shvat, I gave it over to the Lekeach. I gave it over to the Lekeach. He has a right to collect it. So if you have Ksiva U'Mesira, Mesira means I gave over the shtar to the Lekeach, and you need the writing of another shtar that I am giving over the right to collect the debt to the Lekeach. Ksiva U'Mesira together. So the Rambam quotes that we pass from Halacha, Rav HaRishonim Paskan against the Girsas Rashbam. Rav HaRishonim hold unique Siva Mesira, not like Rebbe, like the Chachamim. So the Rambam writes, V'chivas Hashtoris B'derach Hazos M'divrei Sofrim. The term Divrei Sofrim in the Rambam is always an issue. Divrei Sofrim means Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah means Torah Shebichsav. And Divrei Sofrim means Torah Shebal Peh. So sometimes it means a Din Midirabbanan, because the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos that all of the dinim derabbanan fall under two categories, either takonim derabbanan, exerim derabbanan. You're not allowed to carry in a karmelis, and you're not allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat chicken that's cooked in milk. These exeris derabbanan, exeris things you're not allowed to do. Then you have takonim derabbanan. You have to light Neres Chanukah on Yom Tov Chanukah. You have to read the Megillah on Purim. The takonim derabbanan. So the Rambam writes, there are four in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah, it's printed in the back of Brochus. So the Rambam writes that there are four different, there are five different parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And all the Dinim Derabbanan blend into the part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Divrei Sofrim means Torah Shebaal Peh, things, the Dinim that the rabbis developed over the years, Divrei Sofrim, Sofrim are the scribes. The Gemara says why they called Sofrim, because they counted every word in the Torah, every word, every letter, and they were medayek on every word and every letter. We believe the Torah was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter. So that's why we are sometimes medayek. Every letter and every word, a missing word, an extra word, missing letter, an extra letter, and so on. So we, the Rambam, in the Gemara also like that. The Rambam, more so than in the Gemara, the word Divrei Sofrim sometimes means Dinim Deraisa, that are only Torah Shabbat, and most of the time it means Dinim Derabbanan. The Dinim that the Sofrim developed over the years. Sofrim invented Dinim Derabbanan. They developed Dinim Deraisa by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. So the Rambam writes that Mechirush Torah B'derech Hazos, Nidivrei Sofrim, when you sell Shtar, Shtar Halvoa to a Lokeach, you sell it, Ayde Ksiva Mesiva, that's only B'derabbanan. And therefore, the din is Chazra Machal Machal. If the Malva will be Machal to the Leive, the debt, even though the Malva already sold the Shtar Chayv to a Lokeach, since the Hom Mechirush Torah is only B'derabbanan, Chazra Machal Machal, he still has the ability to be Machal. The Rambam holds like those, Balei Atos are all like that. So what did the Rambam mean when he wrote Mechirush Torah B'derech Hazos in this way? Should have said Mechirush Torah says Midrabbanan. So Rab Soloveitchik said from his father, Rab Moshe Soloveitchik, he thought if the din would have been like Rebbe, who holds Osios Nikdans bin Mesira, then it would have been a din Menatorah. Then Mechirush Torah would have been Menatorah. But because we pass from like the Chachamim, the Mechirush Torah says not bin Mesira, Niksiva Umesira. So that whole complicated thing, that's only an invention of Midrabbanan. There's no way to explain that Menatorah. I have to give over the shtar to the lekech, plus write another shtar that the $10,000 debt that someone owed me that's collectible on Tu Bishvat next year should be transferred over to the lekech. How do the two shtars blend in together? I give you the original shtar, then I give you another shtar that says you have a right to collect the debt. The two shtars are not connected. How can they blend in together? So the Rama wrote, Mechirush Torah B'derech Hazos, Medivis, means if you all like the Chachamim, the Mechirush Torah says only Ideh Mesira, that's Midrabbanan. But if the din would have been like Rebbe, the Mechirush Torah would have been Ideh Osius Nikman's bin Mesira, just giving over the Shtar, then it would have been a good Kenyan in Torah. So that's basically what the Nadi Yehuda said. Nadi Yehuda proved that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said it logically. If the din would be like Rebbe, the Mechirush Torah says Ideh Mesira, Osius means Shtar, Nikman's bin Mesira. So I have a shtar that says Reuven owes me $10,000. Then I give the shtar to someone else. He's holding on to it. He claims that true, Reuven used to owe me the money, but now I sold it to him. I sold it. I gave it to him. So the tefisas balashtar, the lakech is holding on to the shtar. So the tefisas balashtar is mashlem nemuchach mitocho. And even though my name, even though the name of the lakech doesn't appear, since the lekech is holding on to the shtar, just like if we would say, I owe you $10,000 and doesn't say who you is, or I owe the bearer of this note $10,000, whoever's the bearer of the note, whoever holds the answer, he's holding on to the shtar. And the shtar says, I owe the bearer of the note. So the tefisas bala shtar is mashlem and muchach mitoch. And see here also, even though it has a person's name, it says, the loiva owes the malva $10,000. And now it's a third person. The lekech is holding on to the shtar. He says, it used to be the loiva owed the malva, but then the malva sold it to me. So the tefisas bala shtar of the lekech is mashlem lemuchach mitoch of the shtar. And it's as if the shtar changes its story. The shtar now says, I've got to say this. The loiva used to owe the malva the $10,000, and now he owes the money to the lekech. So that's all included in the Haggadah Sarshtar. So Rebbe holds that's a din in HaTorah. The Mechirush Torah, if the din would have been like Rebbe, the Mechirush Torah would have, if the din would have been like Rebbe, that Osias Nikta has been Mesira just by giving over the shtar, that would work in HaTorah. So that's why Rebbe says, I need a pasuk to din HaMait, you can't use shtars with pidyon on that. Because when you give over the shtar to someone else, it changes on the level of the rice, and Mechirush Torah works in HaTorah. So would have thought that it's good for pidyon aben. So I need a pasuk to say it's no good. But once you hold, not like Rebbe, once you hold that it's a klal, a prat, a klal, that's memait karkav adam mushtara. So then you can say like Tosfos wrote in Shavuos, you don't really need a pasuk to tell you that shtar is no good for pidyon aben. Shtar is no good anyway, because Mechivah Shtar is only by the Rabbanan. He didn't, nothing changed on the level of the Raisa. So the Klal Prate Klal is only needed to tell you, it's really only needed to tell you that Karka and Avodim are not acceptable. Shtar is anyway is no good, because you give over the Shtar, nothing changed. Al Pidin, Benatar, nothing changed. So once you're all like the Chachamim, then you have no Hechrich to say that Mechivah Shtar works Benatar. So that's what they hold. Mechivah Shtar is only by the Rabbanan. That was the Yortzeit Russian. Why the Rama hold Mechir, the Rama wrote Mechivah Shtar but Derech Hazos Nedivrei Sofim. If you hold like the Chachamim that you sell the Shtar as Haidei Ksiba Umesira, the two don't clap self together. The new Shtar that he writes with the old Shtar that he gave up, but they don't join together. The two pieces of paper. How do they join together? Let's say you have a Shtar that's written half on, there's a Tosfos in Gittin. If you write a get on two pieces of paper, half of the get or shtar halva on two pieces of paper, and the Edom sign on the bottom of the second sheet, so the Edom never signed the first sheet. The two pieces of paper they don't join together. Tyson says if you write two columns on the same side of the page, that reads together. The Edom sign on the bottom of the second column, and you read the first column, then you read the second column. So that's On one piece of paper, you can have two columns, that's good. What if you have two columns on two sides of the piece of paper? You have a shtar, a get, a ready other shtar that's written on two sides of the piece of paper. The Edom sign on the bottom of the second side of the piece of paper. It's all on one piece of paper, two different sides. That doesn't say what the did is. That's a question. Is that good? Mikra din. A shtar that's written on two sides of the paper. Because in the days of the Gemara, when they had a Tanakh was always written on one side of the page. That's what we mentioned several times, that Mogen Avraham and Hilchas Shabbos, they have the Dinam of Kriyas HaTorah after Chazaras HaShatz in Arachayim. Then they have Resh Pei Beis. Resh Pei Beis. I think in Arachayim it's Kuf Lamed Hei. That's the Dinam of Kriyas HaTorah around 10-15 Simon. Then you have Resh Pei Beis, says Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, has Modin. So the Magen Avraham has there on Resh Pei Beis, on Shabbos and Yontav, you say Maftir. So usually they lay the Maftir from a printed Tanakh. They don't lay from a cloth. Most of the Shul, they don't lay from a cloth. So the Magen Avraham quotes, the Magen Avraham had a Taz on Yeridei. He didn't have a Taz on Or HaChaim. It wasn't printed yet. He didn't have a copy, but he had a Taz on Yeridei. That was available already. So the Magen Avraham in Resh Pei Beis quotes the Taz in Yeridei, and in third Chelik Yeridei, that Hilchas Sefer Torah. So the Taz writes that there's one opinion in Tosfos that on Sifri HaTanach, other than Chamishul Chumshit Torah and Megillas Esther, you don't have to write on cloth, on parchment, you can write on paper. You don't have all the restrictions, doesn't have to be Ksav Ashuris. Maybe has a din of Torah Shebichsav, even if it's on paper, and even if it's not Ksav Ashuris. So the Magen Avraham recommends that the one who's saying Maftir, if he doesn't know how to read from a cloth, at least instead of reading just from a Chumash that has the Haftarah, let's say the Haftarah is from Yecheskel. So let him take a printed Sefer Yecheskel and read from a Sefer Shalem. If you're just going to read the Novi, the Haftarah that's printed at the end of Parshas HaShavua, that's not a Sefer Shalem, but just has a chapter here and a chapter there. But he says you should really take a Sefer Yecheskel. But it's on paper. So he says, well, the Taz in Yeridei explains that according to one opinion in Tosfos, it has a Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh, Kedushas Novi, even though it's on paper, even though it's not in Ksav Ashuris. All these requirements are only Me'akev in Sefer Torah and Megillas Esther, because Megillas Esther is compared to the Sefer Torah. It says in the Megillas Esther, Dibri Shalom Ve'emes. The Gemara said, what does that mean, Dibri Shalom Ve'emes? Kamito Shal Torah. Megillas Esther is like the real McCoy. Just like the Chamishul Chamishit Torah, that's the highest level. So Megillas Esther is like a Sefer Torah. It has to be cloth, parchment, and it has to be Ksav Ashuris, as opposed to the other, the Me'aksulim, that you don't need cloth, you don't need Ksav Ashuris. So Rav Soloveitchik had this taina. He thought that was a joke, that Taz. He says, even if you hold that you don't need Ksav Ashuris and you don't need cloth, you can use paper, but it has to be written on one side of the page. You can't read one side then the second side of the same page, then another page, and they're all clipped together, they're all stitched together. You can't read from one side to the other side to the other side. There is no such thing. Chazon Ish has the same title. He thinks that the Taz is out of the question. But the Taz came up with that Taisus in Masechet Shabbos, that all the requirements for writing Megillas Esther are the same as writing a Sefer Torah. Because the Megillas Esther is referred to in the Megillah, Divishon of the Emes Kamnitzer Shal Torah, like the real McCoy. And Rashi learns the real McCoy means a Sefer Torah. Aben and Tam has a whole different shot. The real McCoy means a mezuzah. Why is it called the real McCoy? Because it has Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. It talks about monotheism. But Rashi learns not so. Most, and the Rishami says like Rashi. The Rishami has the same idea. The Rishami says It means that the Megillas Esther is compared to the Sefer Torah. So that's why there's one opinion in Tosfos and Perikol Kisrei, that Masechet Shabbos, that only Megillas Esther and the Chamish Chumshei Torah, Torah's Moshe, have to be written on parchment and with Ksav Ashuris. And the other Sefer Nevi'im don't have to. This week is from Sefer Shoftim, Shiraz Devaira, so you can have a printed Sefer Shoftim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, like the Chazon Ish, he thought that it didn't make any sense at all. You met Tzarf, what it says on one side, the other side, that's that the Tosfos says if you have the get, this, a get and any shtar, written two columns on the same page, there's a hemshech. Two columns on two different pieces of paper, there's no hemshech from one to the other. So it's unclear in Taisa, what if you have the two columns on two sides of the page? Maybe there's no hemsha from the first side of the page to the other side of the page. It's unclear in Taisa, but they don't talk about it. They only talk about two pieces of paper on that Mitztarfim Yachad, but two columns on the same side of the page on Mitztarfim Yachad. That's an issue. So this is the famous Gemara. Machlekes Hatanoim, Rebbe and the Chachonim, whether you darsh and klal apart the klal, a ribi miyot viripo, and a nafkemina la halacha, and the Gemara in Shavu is dalet on the base, has a whole daf there, Shavu is dalet on the base, whole daf of halachas that depend on this mida. Is the mida like Rabbi Akiva, who heard from Nachum Ish Gamzu, ribi miyot viripo, or is the halacha, the correct version is like Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Vishlasha Smith alternative rush has been the Klala Prata Klal. If it's Klala Prata Klal, then it's Ge'ena Prat. It has to be Ge'ena Prat in 2 points. But if it's a Rebbe Mit Rebbe, then you're only Memaid one thing. The Rebbe holds it's a Rebbe Mit Rebbe, you're only Memaid one thing, namely Shtaris. And Gufa Moment, that's the most obvious to be Memaid. So going to Rebbe, the Nadi Bila says you have to say, that Mechiri Shtar is giving over Shtar Chayv to someone else affects a change ben Atar. Al Pidin, he has the right to collect the debt. I gave it over to him. That's because Rebbe holds, that's Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, Rebbe holds Osias Nikna's Bim Mesira. So giving over the document works ben Atar. But if you all like the Chachamim de Rebbe, that Ein Osias Nikna's Bim Mesira, so the two don't join together. They're unrelated to each other. So that's only Midirabbanan. So then you can say that Mechirish Taurus is only Midirabbanan, and the Klala Pratikal is really only needed to be Mamait, Karka, and Avodah. Much Taurus we would have known anyway. That is not Kal. Right? So that's what the Gemara points at. The Gemara has a discussion in Maseches, where is it? Maseches Menoches. There's a Machlekes by Klisharis and the Beis HaMikdash. You have all kinds of kelim. You have to put menochas and nesochim, a mincha, and yah, you have to put any klisharis. There's machlokes and rishonim b'sak and shal shchita, where there has to be a klisharis or not. Three different opinions, yes, no. 2 days in Taisus, the first Taisus in Hazel Mekayman, because the pasuk, the Mishnah says there in Hazel Mekayman, shchitasim kachikachim shchitasim atzofan, the kibul daman bechlisharis batzofan. It doesn't say shchitasim bechlisharis batzofan. It says shchitasim batzofan. The kibul daman bechlisharis batzofan. So kabbalas adam, you need a klisharis. It sounds like shchitasim. You don't need a klisharis. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. That's one day in Taisus. They were medayik. The first Taisus in Zamekayman. They were medayik. That's in Zvachim. That's the name of the paragraph in Zvachim. Is Zamekayman. So that Tosfos was medayik from the lion in the Mishnah in the Zamekayman, that Shechita needs a sakin in the Beis HaMikdash. doesn't have to be a klisharis. The other day is not so. It does have to be a klisharis. The Rambam seems to hold the third opinion that l'chatchili need a klisharis, but b'di'evet it's not miyakev. But there are other things that say menachas and nesachim. You need kiddush kli. So it has to be dafka klisharis. So there's a machlokes in Satanoin. When the Chumash says how to make klisharis, so the Gemara says there's a machlokes whether you darshan the psuk in klala prata klala, riba mit riba. What's the difference? If it's riba mit riba, you only might want kind of a kli. Klicheris is too cheap, so you're not allowed to use klicheris to serve as a klisharis. But any metal is good, or wood is good. Anything other than klicheris is good. But if you hold that the proper midrash atarashes bam is not so much riba mit riba, you only might want thing. It's klala prata klal keina prat. So keina prat would mean anything that's metal, even if it's not a precious metal like gold and silver, but it has to be metal. So if it's wood, it wouldn't be good. So Gemara has a historical machloikis, which was a halachic machloikis. When the Chashmonaim took over the Beis HaMikdash from the Yevonim and from the Misyavnim, they were using all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash for the Zorah purposes, and everything became possible. You can't use kelim. Kelim that we use in Beis Chonyo for Abu Dazar, not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has some. So the Chashmonaim had to make a new menorah. That to make a new mizbech, that to make a new menorah. So when they made the new menorah, there was a machlokes Satanaim. Was it made from wood? Was it shel eitz? Or was it some other metal? It was a cheap metal. It wasn't a precious metal. So the Gemara says that machlokes was a historical machlokes. The Tanaim generations later had two traditions: was it wood or was it metal? And it's a halachic machlokes. If you darshan the psukim by making klishores with klal prata klal, then it has to be mateches. Klishores made from wood is not acceptable. Wood is no good, and klicheres for sure is no good because that's even cheaper, even less precious. But if you hold, you don't hold from the mead of klal prata klal. The mead is riba mead for riboy. They've only been made one thing. So the one and only kind of material that it makes most sense to them in mind is klicheres. That's the cheapest of all. That's the cheapest. But wood would be acceptable for the shirts. The Gemara says that's what the machlekes satanaim depends on. If you dash a glala prata klau, then you read dafke metal. If you all read be made for riboy, then every material is good except for klicheres because it's too cheap. That's not right. And there's theorists in Psak. That's where Meshul Lachamishna works on the theorists in Psak. Half the time, the Raman Paskin is like that sheet. The Raman follows all the cloth, they have Psak, which time at the Paskin line. But the Tanoim are basing their sheet on the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes there. So how can you be Mizak Kishtara El Beit Rei? How can you Paskin half the time like the sheet that everything you darshan klal about the klal? Half the time you darshan, you're Paskin the Dida based on the assumption that the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes been. Is read me to read, but that's a strong touch. That's a steer. That's the Gemara.
Rebbe, didn't you say that all of those klalim, when the klalei psak, it's not really that they had a klal, they simply voted, and it just happened to be, so could they not have voted that the majority at one point in time held the ribui miyat ribui, and the Rambam simply paskin the way the majority at that point in the Gemara paskined, even though in theory it's a stira, but that's the way the majority did vote.
Yeah, but if the halachas, the Gemara explains the halachas depend on this nekuda, what's ribui miyat ribui klal prata klal, so which it, one is right, one is wrong. Can't say Ela the other did with Kim Chaim. What was the midah? Right. The Moshe Rabbeinu told them. So right. That's the question. What's the correct midah? And the other one is dead wrong. So how can you paskin half the time as if you're using klal prata klal, half the time as if you're using midah midah midah? That is a problem. That is a problem. Right. So that is the Gemara. Then the Gemara has a kasha. At the end of this whole, about the 20 lines, the Gemara has a Akash. Omale Rabina Lemerema. You telling me that Rebbe holds the only thing that's not acceptable for Pinyin Rabban is Shtoris. Why? Because Rebbe doesn't believe in Klal Prat Klal. He says every time it's a Klal Prat Klal, it's what you think. It's really Yonim and Mayim, one thing, the most Mistabi Yonim and Mayim Shtoris. Amale Rabbi Lemereimar, is that correct? Rebbe Ribuy Miyuti Darish, is that true? The Rebbe always Darshans, Rebbe Miyuti Ribuy. The din is, if you had an Eved Ivri, it's your Yotze B'Shesh. If the Eved Ivri says, Haftes Adonai V'Sishti V'Zbana Lo Yetze, so he can't force himself on the Odor. If the Odor says, go get out of here, I don't want you anymore, leave my house. He doesn't want, so he has to leave. What if the Odor agrees? He's a good Eved, he likes it. The Eved wants to stay, the Odor wants him to stay. So it says, "Rahas hadayin v'sazna b'matzev avada liyolam." Avada liyolam does mean forever and ever, amen. It means avada liyolam until yadol. He'll be yotze b'yadol. That's the din. So how do you do ritzia? You make a hole. The Gemara says you don't make a hole in the soft part, at the bottom of the ear. You make a hole in the I forgot what you call it, the hard part of the ear.
Cartilage.
The cartilage. Let's make a hole in the. You don't make a hole, you don't make them deaf. Make a hole over here. Make a hole over here. But you don't make a hole where the women make a hole to hang earrings. That's on the soft part. That's make a hole on the cartilage. So what kind of a material, what kind of an instrument do you use to make a hole? So there's a machlokes hatanan, the tanya matzeh, eli ala matzeh. Matzeh is an instrument that's miyuchad for making holes. And on the rabbis, a stool, a sir, a machad, a magdech, a machtev, Anything that can make a hole. And Rebbe disagrees, and he holds that it's a klal prat klal. Rebbe Yarmim Matzeh, Amar Matzeh, Minuchah Shal Matechas, Av Kol Shal Matechas. Ramin and the Mike come and think, what's the Nikudas HaMachlekes? Mar said, that's the Machlekes. Rebbe Darshan's klal prat klal, so it has Dumiyah Dehav Prat, like Dumiyah De Matzeh. So Matzeh is made from Matechas. And the other Tana says, even if it's made from wood, it's also good. So what are you excluding? So what are you excluding? So Mara says in Kiddushin. Mara says, I think Rashi quotes it here. You're excluding some. Let's say you'll take some very sharp acid and you make a hole in the ear without placing any pressure. Then you're not Yotze. You have to do ritzia on the Eved Ivri, that you should be allowed to stay until the Yoizel. Ritzia has to be made with an instrument that has a sharp instrument that you push, and you make a hole in the cartilage part of the ear. If you just use some, then it's not good. Some, there's a shayla, let's say you do a bris milah. So what kind of an instrument do you have to, I just attended a bris this morning, I was deciding. So when you do a bismillah, what kind of a knife do you need? So the Rambam says you can use a knife from wood, from metal, from glass, from grass, anything that cuts. Anything that's cut. Is there anything that's not acceptable? So some of the Achranim came up with the Chiddush that just like over here, according to the first Tana, that everything is good, sul, sira, machat, magdech, machtev, wood, metal, anything. Rebbe holds, that's this for beauty. Rebbe holds has to be shel matechas. If it's not matech, it's no good because klal prat klal. But the first time it holds, you don't darshan klal prat. You only remind one thing. So what's the one and only thing you remind? Sam. Because the sam doesn't make the hole, but by placing pressure, the sam burns out a hole. So that's what Sam Acharenim said. You can perform a bris milah with any. By bris milah, there is no pasuk in chumash. There is no pasuk in chumash that says what kind of instrument you have to use. Maybe there's a pasuk in Yoshua. Kach locha chagos terim shumal des b'nei Yisrael shenis. But in the Chumash, there's no pasuk. You can't make a klal prat the klal. Psukim and say for Yoshua. So that's what some Achrayim want to say. It's very questionable. You can't use some in order to perform a bris milah. That's, I remember years ago, they had on the news, the first time in, maybe 25 years ago, first time in the history of the world that the Jews performed a bris milah with
a laser. A laser.
With laser beam. The laser beam doesn't gives that impression. Because the child had hemophilia, and if they would cut, he would bleed to death. So they performed the bris milah with a laser beam. So it's better than nothing. Even if you hold that sam is no good, it can only be, I'd say, the mitzvah milah by using pressure, by cutting. But if you use sam, it's no good. Use laser, it's also no good. But others disagree, and the alternative is going to be, you won't give the baby a bris at all. You can't give him a normal bris. You're going to cause him to bleed. He can bleed to death. So that's what they had. The first time in the history of the world that the Jewish people did a bris with a laser. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, how can you tell me that Rebbe's opinion is based on Rebbe Meir to Rebbe, but Rebbe holds klal l'prat to klal? So the Gemara answers the kasha, and what is it, about 6-7 lines from the bottom. Gemara says, and correct. But in general, Rebbe holds klal l'prat to klal. Abahacha, over here, by Pinyan Aben, the reason why he darshans Rebbe Meir to Rebbe is because whenever you have shnei klalim hasmuchim zavazen, then you have a, instead of having klal uprat to klal, you have a klal uklal uprat. So how do you treat that? So Rebbe says, if it would have been klal prat klal, would have been a klal prat to klal, but it's klal uklal and the prat is after, so then I treat it like a riba meal to a riba. That's why he says over here, riba meal to riba. But whenever you have it, it's in the correct order. Klala prata klal. Rebbe would have said it's a klala prata klal. And that's a machlokes hataran. If you have shnei klolim, asmuchim zelazer, and afterwards a prat, do you say hatal prat beneim, and I treat it like a klala prata klal, or not? Okay. What is the original? Where is the original machlokes? Where the shnei klolim, asmuchim zelazer, and the prat comes afterwards? So Rashi explains it in the Gemara. The Tana Beir Rabbi Shmuel, four lines from the bottom. Tadaber is Muslim from Chulin, in Pergei L'Tradin. The Pasuk says, anything that swims in the water that has snapa v'kaskeses is mutter to eat, and if it doesn't have snapa v'kaskeses, it's also to eat. So what doesn't have snapa v'kaskeses? So bugs. All the bugs that swim in the water don't have snapa v'kaskeses, so you're not allowed to eat the Sheretz HaMayim. So one ton of holes, Rashi explains it over here. He's quoting that Gemara Chulin, that the only time you need snapa v'kaskeses and the bugs in the water are usher, that's only b'yamim v'necholim, shenovim, bina snapa v'kaskeses. That's the third line from the bottom in Rashi. V'yamim v'necholim, shenovim, that the water is coming up from under the ground, so it's a mayon. If the bugs develop in a mayon, then you need snapa v'kaskas. Avod hagdelim emayim uchunasim. If you have a swamp of water and the water is not going anywhere, it's not a mayon. It's a body of water that's stagnant. Then Rashi says, going to this time, misachle b'lo snapa v'kaskas. Those bugs can be eaten even though you don't have snapa v'kaskas. So that's a question about the bugs in the New York water. That in the United States, there's a law, I think, that any city has a population above 100,000 has to filter all the water. So there are cities that have less than 100,000, they also filter the water. But those over, if they can afford it, but those over 100,000, I think that's the rule, have to filter the water. There are only three cities in the United States where it's way over 100,000 and the water is not filtered. So New York City is one of the lucky winners, New York City and Boston, and Seattle, Washington. These are the three cities that have a big population, over 100,000, and they can't afford to filter the water. So years ago, what was it, maybe 20 years ago, I don't know, when they realized that New York water is full of copepods. Maram Shik has a tshuva, a chelik every day. Maram Shik was the Talmud of the Chassam Sefer. Has very nice tshuvas, very yeshivish, lamdish tshuvas, more so than the Chassam Sefer. Every so often has a hachroa, an arbitrary psak that rubs yeshiva guys the wrong way. He doesn't go with lamdas. Ram Shik always goes with lamdas, with yeshiva shirei. Much more enjoyable. So the Ram Shik writes that every body of water in the world has copepods, but usually it's a mir chain amatsui. So mir chain amatsui, you're not mukhiv to tilti, you're not mukhiv to worry about that. But if you tell me, the Shoyl sent him a letter, if you're telling me that you live in a city where it's Amir Tamatsui, Amir Tamatsui, so then it didn't, you have to be Baidik, Midrabban. Amir Tamatsui, that's a Ramban in the beginning of Chulin. Has in the Melchamis and the Chidush Ramban. He has both. A lot of it is word for word the same. He quotes a Medrash that Adam Arishan was created on Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day of creation, Erev Shabbos, and he was prohibited to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But the Medrash has an interesting understanding of the Psukim. If he would have waited till Friday night, would have waited till Lil Shabbos, would have had enough self-control, self-restraint, he would have been permitted to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But he didn't have self-control to wait till Lil Shabbos, so that's why he violated the Eitz Hadas. And the Medrash has an expression, Mi galo afa me'enecha, Adam Arishan, we should dig Adam Arishan, he's buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, we should dig him out and get the sand off of his eyes, let him look at the Jewish people. Mi galo afa me'enecha, Adam Arishan, you didn't have self-restraint to wait a few hours till Lil Shabbos, and it would have been mutter for you to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and you violated. If you would have looked at the Jewish people, you would see they plant a tree and they wait 3 years for orla. They don't eat the pear. A lot of times nothing grows in the first 3 years. But even if pears grow, they have restraint. A woman is married, she has to go to the mikveh, so sometimes you wait Shiva Nikim, sometimes you wait Shiva Yamim, not Shiva Nikim. You have to wait a week, sometimes wait more than a week. And then the mashal is given, the Medrash gives a mashal of orla, you plant the tree, you have to wait 3 years. The woman has to go to mikveh, it takes a while, you have to wait. And then the Medrash gives the example, you shech the behemah, and you don't eat the flesh right away. You check the lungs to see if there are any sirchas. So that's what the Ramban asks. There are 70 different trefas, 70 different kinds of trefas. So why do we only check for sirchas on the lungs? What about the other 69 trefas? Why are we only worried about the sirchas? So the Ramban answers, this is all the Ramban, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The sirchas are a miut hamotzei. It's a miut, it's way less than 50%, but it's a significant miut hamotzei. So since it's a miut hamotzei, midrabbanan, you have to check. Then the Torah still have a right to go basurab, to ignore it. But when the Rabbanim, whenever it's a miut hamotzei, you muchiv to be boidik, and if it's bugs in the water, if it's a miut hamotzei, then you have to filter the water. So what's called the miut hamotzei? So that's a question. So the Mishkan that we spoke about, so the Mishkan of Yankiv says, and the Darkachumi by the Minkacha, and Yeridei only quotes the Mishkan of Yankiv. Mishkan of Yankiv learned in Valozhin. He learned by Abchaim Valozhin. He was the first group of Talmidim who learned in Valozhin Yeshiva. And every year he would visit Valozhin, and the Rav Chaim Valozhin would be mechaber him to give a shir in the Beis Medrash. So the Mishkan of Yankiv has a shtikl raya, it's a knapa raya. It has a shtikl raya for the Gemara 10% or above. It's called miut hamotzei. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give the hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston. He used to be mekel, that's what he told. He used to be mekel on all the sirchas. Whenever it's possible to be mekel, he would be mekel plus. He would be mekel whatever is on the books plus more, because he had kulis from the Balatanya and the Kutrusachrin and Yeridea. The Balatanya has extra kulis on sirchas. Had to be mekel on the sirchas. And he says, with all the kulis that he used to come out with 14% of the animals that the Shech did had sirchas that he couldn't be mekel on. And he was upset why the glatt kosher slaughterhouses claimed that they're not mekel, it's glatt kosher. He was the mekel, he was the shegetz, he was the mekel, and he had 14%. And the glatt kosher said they're not mekel on anything, they only had 9% sirchas. How is that possible? If he's mekel on everything, has 14%, how can it be glatt kosher only has 9%? He said, you see that glatt kosher is glatt treif and a bunch of fakers and you can't rely on them. Sure. That's what he was complaining about. So he said the Mishkan of Yankiv is right, that it's 10%, because in America it's 14%. Anything 10% and above is called miut hamotzei. Rav Al-Yashiv pointed out that the Medrash was probably, the Medrash, Mi galo afa me'enecha, the Medrash was probably not written in America where it's 14%. The Medrash may have been written in Eretz Yisrael. There are Medrashim that were written by the Rishonim who lived in Europe. But maybe the Medrash was written in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, we don't know what the percentages of treifas were in the days of the Rishonim, the days of the Gemara, but today, Rabbi Asher pointed out the last 150 years in Eretz Yisrael, they kept a record of what, of, in the slaughterhouses, what percentage of the behemoths that they shechted had sirchas on the lungs, and it turned out that it's 7%. Apparently, the air in Eretz Yisrael is less polluted, so the less sirchas, behemoths have less sirchas. The Rabbi Yashar thought maybe it's 7%, because we say sirchas on the lungs, on Mir Tamatzu. What says Mir Tamatzu? 7%. So here in New York, they said in Washington Heights, certain hours of the day, you'll have one out of every 8 cups of water will have one of these bugs in it, will have one of the copepods in it. Yeah, but it depends what side of the street you live and what time of the day. Is it when everyone's taking a shower and everyone's cooking the supper? Is it in the middle of the day, the end of the day? So that's a question. It's not the 1 out of 8 cups of water all day long. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So that's the question. Is that called a mir tamatzin? If sometimes it is and sometimes not. So that's questionable. But that's where the whole idea. That's where the whole idea of checking for bugs. If you have a mir tamotze, you're checking shatnas. When you have to check for shatnas on a suit, if this company has a mir tamotze, either 7%, we know 7% of their suits turn out to have shatnas, or 10%. The Mishkan Zeng says 10%. Rabbi Yashu thought 7%. Yeah, so whenever you have a mir tamotze, you have to be burning. So that's some claim that these copepods in the water, some claim based on this Rashi quoting the Gemara Neva Treifas, the Chulin, Daf Samach Rav Amud Beis, it says, so that maybe these bugs are muta b'achila. That's what some claim. These bugs develop in Mayim Buchunosim. It doesn't, if it's Yamim and Acholim, then it has to have snap in the kaskesis, and the copepods are also. But if they develop, if they gedalim, they develop a mayim uchunasim, then misachli, but you can eat it without snap in the kaskesis, so the copepods are muta. So some say these copepods are muta, others say they're osir, but they're not convinced that that's called the mir tamatzui, because it's not all day long. It's not the one side of the street, yeah, the other side of the street, no. Maybe they're not called mir tamatzui. But that's a shaila. If it is a mir tamotze and you have to filter the water with the rabbanim to remove the bugs, then I thought you have a right to go basar right, even though it is a mir tamotze. It still is a mir, even if it is mir tamotze. But the shaila is, if you have a mir tamotze mukhid medina to filter the water, are you permitted to filter the water on Shabbos? Is that a nisar aborir? So the chayyodam writes La Halacha based on the Mogen Avraham, that since the Nochem drink the water the way it is, it tastes delicious, that no one filters the water, it's good water. So even though by the Jews we're not allowed to drink the water if it has bugs in it, but that's not called psalus, it's all cold water. It's all, everything is zeichel, there's no shnei minim, and you're permitted to filter the water. He says, so the Chayyodim is Mekel, but the Chayyodim was in Lithuania. He was a dayan in Vilna. He was a business man, and then they appointed him to be a dayan in Vilna. But the Maram Shik lived in Hungary, so he doesn't have any Chayyodim. He doesn't know if it's not Chayyodim. So he writes, he thinks, if the halacha requires that you mechayev to filter the water because it's a mir tamatzui, then he says you're not allowed to filter the water on Shabbos. That's a melacha borer. He says there used to be a minig that people would filter the water that they used on Pesach. Because Chametz is b'mashuhu, so they were nervous. Maybe there's a mashuhu of Chametz, and Chametz b'Pesach is b'mashuhu. Chametz kerem at Pesach, and you already took it out. It's not b'mashuhu, it's part of b'shishim. If it still has the Chametz on Pesach, then the Chametz is even also b'mashuhu. So people had a minig that they would filter all the water that they used for soup or cooking on Pesach. So the Maram Shik, right, that's only a chumrah b'almut, you're filtering. It's not a mir tamotze, it's a mikra, then you're not mechayev. It's all chalamas, it's all chalamas. Maybe there's a little chametz in the water, but mechayev pesach. So he says that he thinks you're allowed to filter the water on Shabbos again. That's not a problem. But if you have real mir tamotze of copepods, then the Mamshik thinks that it's us that the Tzotzmid on Shabbos. That's the Shaila. That's the Shaila. So somehow that these bugs are Mutta, based on this Rashi, based on the Gemara Chulin, somehow the bugs are Aser, but it's not a Neo Tamotzi. They're not so convinced that it's Neo Tamotzi. And somehow, even if it is a Neo Tamotzi, but the Magen Avraham says there's no Iser to filter the water on Shabbos, because the Nachrim drink it the way it is. And some, and there's another Tzad L'Hokel, that the Minchas Yitzchak used to be the Dain for the Eidach HaRedis, of Yitzchak Weiss. He used to be a Rav in Manchester, the Dain in Manchester. First, before the war, he was in Hungary, in Grois Vadein, or Klein Vadein, whatever, somewhere in Hungary. And then after the war, he ended up in Manchester for many years, and then he became the head of the Eidach HaRedis, the Poisik for the Eidach HaRedis. As many volumes of Chulis, more than 10 volumes of Chulis. So he writes a svara, if the filter is attached to the faucet in such a way that whenever you turn on the water, even if it's just washing your hands, or you're washing a dish, or whatever, you're washing the sink, all the water that comes out is being filtered. So you're not really filtered. You didn't do anything specific to shame filtering. Not that you put it in an instrument that's going to filter. You didn't put a filter here. Filter screwed onto the faucet. So any water that comes out is being filtered. So he has a svara that maybe there's no melechas Shabbos b'shei v'al tasa. The maisa that you did to turn on the water related to turning on the water, and the filtering happens by itself, even though it's a psigreshei, maybe it's more kal than a psigreshei. Maybe it's considered as if the filtering was not your accomplishment, as if you didn't do it. So the difference, Dodim l'hakom. So that's why the people are mako. Some are mako to eat the bugs. They hold that these bugs are mutta. It develops. How do they know when it develops in my mechunasim, in my novim? That I don't know. So somehow the bugs are mutta, somehow the bugs are rata, but it's a near chain of motzi. Somehow that there's no iser of borer, like the Magen Avraham and the Chayyodim. Somehow there is an iser of borer, but there's no, you didn't do a maaser brer here, just turned on the faucet. So that's not called difference, Dodim. So that's why even the machmirim, not to eat the bugs, but they'll turn on the faucet on Shabbos that has the filter attached. So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says you cannot do pinyan ben with karka avodim shtoris. We don't pass like Rebbe that you only remind shtoris. Can use karka avodim or shtoris. And you also cannot use hegdish. The Gemara says, of course not. The last line on the Aleph Pshita. What do you mean? Hegdish doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Hegdish. What's the Havamina? How can you think that you can use Hegdish to give Pinyin HaBen? You're going to give Hegdish to give money to the Koi. The Koi can't use it. It's Hegdish. It'll be Meil Ben. Ma says, no. Hey, Mazagazo, you have to correct the Gersa in the Mishnah. When you want to be paid the Hegdish, so there's a Pasuk that doesn't really exist. The Tesis quotes it. The bottom Tesis on Amir Aleph. Quotes the Gemara. The Gemara has a pasuk, "Venasna hakesef itomlo." You see the Tesis, Ema. So Tesis on the fifth line, sixth line. Midachsev the pasuk, "Venasna hakesef itomlo." So Tesis points out there is no such pasuk, "Venasna hakesef itomlo." The Gemara took a word from one pasuk, a word for the next pasuk. The gist of a few psukim reads in such a way as if there were a pasuk. There really isn't. As if the word pasuk does v'nasna kesef v'kamlo, you can be paid the hegdish by giving kesef. But shavu kesef is also kikesef, so you cannot be paid the hegdish. Just like pidyon ben, you can't do with karka avodim shtoris. So pidyon hegdish may be made with shavu kesef, but you can't be paid the hegdish with karka avodim shtoris. But then about the shtoris, the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion on the top of on the base. That's going to be a whole. That we'll have to discuss a lot. There is the sugya and ksuvas of kubesim and aleph, and we'll have to discuss it. Maybe I'll just end off with a short batera on the sedra. This week is Shabbos Shira, so we're going to move the Shabbos of Yashir. So the minig is, it's a questionable minig. We have a trup. We have a correct trup, how you're supposed to lay the psukim. So there's a very old minig. I don't know exactly how far back it goes, that you sing Oz Yashir. Like a marching tone, a shira la shem ki go go suz v'rach lo irama v'yom. Instead of laying the regular trump, so you lay like that. Okay, simcha, the excitement of Bnei Yisrael marching out of Egypt, free people. So you have a niggun. isn't there a violation? There's a din. You're supposed to lay with the trup. And there's a machloikis in the dorm where the trup is their isa, the rabban. So somehow we assume trup is their isa. So that's, I don't know. So that's a problem. So there's an added minig that many shuls have, that in addition to oz yashir laying with the fancy trup, there's a pasuk that appears before oz yashir. V'hamayim lahem choma. When I saw them walking, there was water piled up at the right and on the left, and they were walking by Yabosha in between. So the meaning is that pasuk also you read, instead of laying with the chap, you read it with the marching tune. So that pasuk, Amayim Lahem Chaimah, appears twice before Oz Yashar. In Mishalach chapter Yudal, the pasuk called Beis, and later on, again repeated Pasuk Chavtes. So the Oz Yashir begins chapter Tezvav. After Pasuk Lamed Aleph, so Pasuk Chavtes says, V'amayim lahem chayma. Then you have Pasuk Lamed Aleph, then they have Oz Yashir. So the meaning that I always saw was that the Valkyrie lanes, the second Ramayim Lahem Chayma, Pasuk Chavtes, they sing it with the marching niggun, Ramayim Lahem Chayma. Rav Soloveitchik was a big daikon on all the minhagim. So he said, that's a mistake. He remembers in Europe, where he came from, that Pasuk they sang in the regular trup. They only said the other one, Pasuk Chavbeis, they sang Ramayim Lahem Chayma. What's the difference? And Pasuk Chavbeis, it says the word Mayim Lahem Chomach Ches Vav Mem Hei. In Pasuk Chavtes, it says Ches Mem Hei, Chosir. What's the difference whether it's Chosir or Male? So the Medrash has a comment, Mayim Lahem Chomach, without a Vav, spells the word Chema. That in Sefer Shoftim, in the Vim, there's a story about Pesel Micha. There was Mr. Micha, had an Avodah Zarah, and he got a lot of Jews to worship Avodah Zarah. It was unbelievable. So the Medrash had a tradition on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people saw Isis and Mosim, Nisim and Aflos, Esa and Makas and Kriyas Yamsov and Makas Pchairis and Gilish Chid and everything. Micho was taking out the Avodah Zarah, the Getchke from Egypt, and years later he made a whole church. He made a whole Avodah Zarah. It was unbelievable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. He was doing Nisim and Aflos, but I saw this guy was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nismali Chema, because Micha was taking out the Pesel Micha with him. So that's on the Pasuk Chavtes, where Choma is spelled Chosavav. It doesn't make sense to sing with the happy niggin, with the marching tune, to indicate Simcha, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nismali Chema. So Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers where he came from. The meaning was they only sang Pasuk Chavbeis with the cheerful niggin, because there the word Choma is spelled Molivav. Today you don't darshan the smali chema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. Rav Soloveitchik was a big daikan on all the minhagim. It's interesting, after the war, so many tzaddikim, talmid chachamim, were killed. So they were trying to record all the minhagim. It shouldn't be forgotten. So there was one of the Chazon Ish's mikurovim, Saroya Devolitsky, put out from Bnei Brak, from the Chazon Ish's mikurovim. So he put out a luach. We have the luach, Rav Tikhachinsky has a luach. As Ostara has a luach, but has all the dinim, all the minhagim. So Devolitsky put out a luach. So in his luach, he quotes the Rabbi Herschel Shechter from YU, quotes Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, and Bnei Brak. He's the only source that he has. That in Achrimos Kedoshim, there were Hatoris there. And the Mishnah Megillah has a machlekes Hatanayim. In the days of the Tanaim, the one who got mafter would be able to pick whatever Navi he wants to say to Lane, minimum 21 psukim for Haftar, unless Shalom and Yonah, unless it finishes the whole topic in less than 21. And the Haftar has to have a kesher with the Parshas HaShavua. So one Tana said, Rav Lezer says, you're not allowed to, and Achrei Mois Kedoshim, it talks about Gili Arayis. Achrei Mois has all the Yisurim, it says it's Koris. Then in Kedoshim, it repeats those that have Misa. So one of the Haftarahs, I think, for Kedoshim, the Haftarah for Kedoshim is from Yecheskel, where the Novi is instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Da'ash Yerushalayim is Tov Abusel. go give Musa to the Jews that live in Yerushalayim, that they're all violating Gilui Arayis. So Reb Lezer says it's not right to pick that haftar. Pick a different haftar. The Navi was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go give Musa. Okay, the Navi had a direct Nevuah, but we were not told to pick that Nevuah. It's not right. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa that one Balabas in Reb Lezer's community didn't listen to him, and he decided to say that haftarah. And Reb Lezer made a comment, Achata Bodik B'Te'evas Yerushalayim B'dok B'Te'evas Imecha. Why are you giving Musa to the people that they do Gilui Arayis? What about your family? And they investigated, they found out that the guy was a mamzer. The person who picked the haftarah, the Reb Lezer said, you're not allowed to say. Turned out he was a mamzer. His mother had an affair with someone other than her husband, and the child was a mamzer. So we have that haftarah printed in the Chumash for Parshas Kedoshim. So usually when you have Mechubarim, Machamayos Kedoshim, very often on Mechubarim. Usually when you have Mechubarim, you say the haftarah from the two minhagim, where they say the haftarah from the first Parsha, or the haftarah from the second Parsha. So we usually say the haftarah from the second Parsha. Here it's an exception to the rule. We don't say. We say from the first Parsha, look, and they kushim. We say that. And a lot of times when it's not Mechubarim, so it's Shabbos, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, so you say Macha Chodesh, or it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, do you say Hashemayim Kisi? What if it's not Mechubarim, and it's not Erev Rosh Chodesh, and it's not Rosh Chodesh? And you have no teretz, why you don't want to say that Haftarah? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the meaning where he came from, and Devolitsky quotes this, Rav Soloveitchik said, that the meaning of Lithuania was that you say the same haftarah 2 weeks in a row, alokiv nekushin, and you just don't say that haftarah. The haftarah is printed in every chumash, and you never say it. So he didn't have, Rav Soloveitchik was a big daikan in all the menhagim. He was the only one who remembered a lot of these menhagim after the war. So they're quoting what he remembered. So they're here also by this. I never heard of any shul where they said Rav Soloveitchik and his shul. And in my mind, that's what they did. But in all the other shuls, my impression is that they sang Pasuk Chav Tes with the marching tone. They don't sing Pasuk Chav Beis. Rav Soloveitchik said that was a mistake. The meaning only was to say Pasuk Chav Beis with the marching tone, because Pasuk Chav Tes, the written Lechaim Chasav Vav, the Smalechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry because they brought out the Pesel Micha with them. But through all the Nisim and the Flos and the Osis and Mofsim, the people were still worshipping Abed Azar. Unbelievable. Okay, believe that next week we'll continue the next Gemara. Next Gemara is an important Gemara. But
Rabbi Schechter, why didn't Micha die during the Shoshes Mei Feilah, Koshech?
Good question. I don't know. It's a very good question.
And so how long over there is Hello, Abi Azor. So there were people after Chayshah.
Yeah, yes.
Should have died.
I thought the 80% that died were because they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, not because they were Bashoim. No, wasn't it that 4/5 was the ones that didn't want to leave Mitzrayim?
Could be. I think some of them were Rishoim also. Some were Rishoim.
But Rashad wanted to ask. About the pasuk, there is a pasuk in the Torah in Shemos, which the Torah gives a bris, and it says charge used a stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a source for what we could use for a bris?
Yeah. So the Gemara says any material is good. Well, any material is good. The Gemara never says that Sam is not good. But here, by the Marzeya, one Tana says that Sam is not good. So Achrenim related, maybe it's based on that word sor. Okay. Has to be a sharp thing that cuts by placing pressure, as opposed to a laser beam, as opposed to some. Yeah. So some say that just like Marzeya, some is not acceptable, the Choladeus, the some by bris wouldn't be acceptable. Okay, based on the Pasuk Tzor, good. Could be that's what it's based on. Okay.
Thank you. Good.
Then next week we'll continue.
Thank you.